Amen. Now, what I didn't tell you when I started the series is that now you are accountable. You are accountable. You are accountable, responsible in terms of being able to share with others, because it's not like you have no knowledge. You have knowledge now. God has given us, if you were to format this as our eighth session, and I believe that if you go through it, go back and study your notes, you have a lot more information to share with people. Our job primarily as a believer is to spread the gospel. I know oftentimes when we come to church, we want to come to get blessed. Amen. And we do get blessed, but our main function is to seek and save the lost. Amen. I don't get too many amens about that.
Amen.
That lets you know where the body of Christ is that our function, according to the things of God, is that we ought to go and proclaim the message. Now, in the going of proclaiming the message, we're going to get blessed. You're going to get blessed as you share the message. So I'm expecting, as a result of the knowledge that you have now, that you'll be able to minister to your neighbors, to your family, to the people that you work with, people on the street. And I'm expecting you to, I'm really expecting the church to grow as a result of it.
Amen.
So that as you minister to people, they'll come and they'll want to know where you learned. Is that right? Because you're coming, it's good for you, it will be good for them. But many times they just won't come to church. They'll need you to minister to them about coming. So I trust that the foundation has been a good one for you. Go back, as I mentioned, through the notes, and I'm sure that you'll be able to really bring some insight to those that you come in contact with. All right, guys, how we doing? Just keep going. You're waving at me, but I'm ringing. Okay, we've covered 4 points. The 4 points are, up to this point, actually we've covered 3 points. How the God of the Bible looks at mankind's position without Christ. Point two was God's love for mankind is demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. Point three was because of mankind's acceptance of God's love, he gives him what? And now we're dealing with what? Blessings that belong to the righteous. It's important for us to know that we have been made righteous and by what means that we were made righteous. Is that right? It's important for us to really understand that. Many people hear that, but it's important for you to see it, for it to be a part of your understanding, so that when you start to claim the promise of God and expect God to do things in your life, it will be based upon you understanding your position of righteousness. Now, just because I have a position of righteousness doesn't mean I always act righteously. I should. But my actions don't determine my state of righteousness. My actions just determine what I'm doing with my righteousness. But my righteous position came as a result of me receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And we've covered all of those points up to this point, up to this time. So now we can, if you would, flow into what belongs to whom? The righteous. When you start speaking, when you start declaring, when you start laying hands on the sick, when you start expecting to receive based upon your prayer, it's all as a result of your position in Christ. I've over the years, I've seen people come in on a teaching of faith. The series could be like Dr. Price just finished the series, The Faith That What? The Faith That Takes. Okay, so that sounds good to the ear of a person. I want to move in that. But deep down on the inside, they don't understand their righteousness. Because you can't teach everything in every series. Is that right? You can't teach everything in every series. So if I'm teaching on a faith that takes, I may not necessarily speak on righteousness and how you got there. Well, if you step into the series that I'm teaching on the faith that takes, or whoever's teaching on the faith that takes, or healing, or speaking to the mountains, or expecting your prayers to be answered, whatever it may be, if you walk into that, but you still are not sure about how you got to be in a righteous position, you're going to kind of halt a little bit. Because in your mind, you're thinking, how can I do that after all, based upon who I am? Is that correct? So
The series has been designed to give you a foundation as to how you got from a position outside of Christ to a position inside Christ, having what God calls righteousness or right standing with Him. So now that you have right standing with Him, there's something that comes with that. And we've entitled the last part of the series, Blessings That Belong to Whom? Righteous. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Just want to kind of go over our passage of how we got to become righteous in Christ. Those of you that, as I mentioned, that did not have, not with us, you can pick up all the previous 7 tapes at the book table, and I give you a background, because now we're in the last part. This is the anchor leg, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read over this and delve right into our blessing part. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says what? Therefore, if anyone is in whom? Is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, those of you that's been with us for a while, you already know what the old things are. The old things have to do with your spiritual nature. Is that correct? The new things have to do with you being born again. Correct? So from the standpoint of God, He no longer sees us in the old alienated state. He sees us in the translated state, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Is that correct? Then He goes on and says, now all things are of whom? Who has what? Reconciled us to Himself. Through whom? And has what? Given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we have been reconciled by God through Christ, brought back to Him. And once He did that, not only did He bring us back to the position that we had lost in Adam, but He also gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Another way of saying that is to go and seek and save the lost, or to share the message of the gospel with those that don't know it. That's the ministry of reconciliation. As you get this information, you begin to walk in this, you begin to walk in the blessings, you begin to walk in the gifts, then God says, you take that message to the world. Now, why wouldn't a person take it to the world? Isn't it something how the world always wants to bring you their message? Any new thing that comes up, they want to bring it to you. I want to let you know. Let me tell you this new deal. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you that. Well, you know, we have a message to bring that is greater than all of that. So He goes on. That is that God was in whom? Christ doing what? Reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were what? Pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God. For He made Him, who's Him? Who knew no sin, to be what? Sin for us. Why did He do that? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah. So from the perspective of God, everyone that has been born again, become a new creation, according to the scripture, they are a new creation. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's all right for you to say that you're righteous. Now, how did I become righteous? How did you become righteous? Through Christ. Is that right? But as many as received Him, gave Him the power to become what? The sons of God. So all of those things tie together. So my righteousness is tied to whom? Christ. Jesus Christ. My righteousness is not tied to my works. My righteousness is tied to Christ. Now, since I am righteous in God's sight through Christ, I should have righteous works. You see the difference? But the state of righteousness came as a result of Jesus. Now, once that's clear, you can understand why people say, claim the benefits of your new creation or your righteousness. Claim the benefits. You're not earning the benefits, you're claiming the benefits. I claim the benefit or the blessing of healing. I claim the benefit or the blessing of having my needs met. I claim the blessing of not having to fear. I claim that. Why? Because that belongs to me. Christ paid the price for me. He became sin so that I could be reconciled to God. Now, Satan's very clever over the years, even in the church. He's woven a web so that people think that their righteousness is tied to their actions. And it's not. Your righteousness is a state given by the Lord. Can you see that? Have you seen that throughout? Okay, so now if that's the case, when we start talking about blessings that belong to the righteous, you claim that. That's a whole different focus. If you're asking for what's already yours, there's a problem. Many people ask for what's already theirs. So they're really not in faith, because if they were truly in faith, they would know that God said it is theirs. So I thank you, Father, that my needs are met. Well, it doesn't look like it's met. No, but according to God, it is. According to God, it's mine. It just hadn't manifested yet, but it's mine. And God told me to agree with his word. Now, we left off last week. We're in Psalm 5. Is that correct? Let's go to Psalm 5, verse 11. The word righteous in the Hebrew, or righteous in the Old Testament, comes from a Hebrew word, tzedakah. And tzedakah means to be righteous or be in the absolute right. The same as the word that we mentioned in the Greek, which is dikaiosune. Both of those words mean the same thing. One from Hebrew, one from Greek. It means to be in the absolute right, be in the just position, be in the right standing position in terms of someone determining if you are. In this case, God determines if you're in the right standing position. Is that correct? So when we talk about the righteous, God uses this word tzedakah. And when he says the Lord is righteous, you read that in English? In the English version, the Bible, if you go through the scripture, it says the Lord is righteous. You'll find that all throughout the Psalms. Has anyone ever read that? Our Lord is a righteous God. Okay, well, if you were to read Hebrew, it would be tzedakah, or derivative of it. Now, when he says he's righteous, when he talks about us, he uses the same word. Oh, you missed the time to shout. When I'm beginning to read now, when I talk about the righteous and those who are righteous, God is using the same word about us that he uses about himself. Hallelujah. All as a result of what Jesus did. Are you with me? All right, then Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way. If you don't have that version, you may want to pick it up. If not, just use the one that you have. The words may be a little different, but we're saying the same thing, basically. Psalm 5, verse 11 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in whom?" You. Who do you think you is talking about? At this point, it's talking about God the Father, correct? Let them what? Ever shout for joy. So I don't just tell you to shout just because I want you to make some noise. But the scripture is always talking about what? Shouting for joy. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And when we come together, we can talk about the Lord. But it says, let them ever shout for joy because of what reason? You defend them or protect them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will what? Bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Now, if I didn't know, based upon the scripture, that I had been made righteous in the sight of God, I could never claim this verse. I may be trying to get to a point where I would see myself as what? Righteous. And trying to work for that. And that's an endless treadmill. You just keep going, going, and going, and going, trying to become righteous. But my position of righteousness comes through Christ. If I am righteous, and righteous comes from the word, as I mentioned, tzedakah, from the word righteousness. So if that's the case, then God says he will bless who? the righteous. Now, I mentioned before that blessing means to empower to prosper. He empowers us to prosper. Means that we didn't necessarily have it before, but now what? He empowers us to be able to prosper. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. He does not. See, many people say, well, if I'm blessed as the righteous, then it's supposed to fall on me. He didn't say that. He says he's going to empower me to prosper. Amen. Which calls for me acting on what he said. So if he tells me to do something, then I step out in that knowing that I'm going to be empowered to prosper. He told Abraham to go to a land. Did he not? He said, I will bless you in the land that I have given you. Not bless you in Ur of the Chaldees. Are you with me? Not if he said your job's in Tenafly and you live in the Bronx, you can't stay in the Bronx. You got to go to Tenafly or vice versa. But we want to get blessed where we are. And God said, no, blessing's over there. I've empowered you to prosper over there. Now, if I don't know that God's going to be, if he'll have my back, I might wonder, can I get blessed over there? God said, I bless the righteous. I empower the righteous, what? To prosper. I'll surround them with a what? With a shield. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Understand it. If you're surrounded by favor, hallelujah. I'd rather have favor than money. You got to understand, people, well, I'll take the money. Your money's going to run out. You're going to need some favor. Just ask Donald. His money has run out and run out and run out. You know, but along the way in the world system, he's found some favor. That's why he can go bankrupt and still live like he wants to live. Oh, y'all missed that, huh? That's just in the natural. Imagine the favor of God. See, you have to wake up in the morning when you don't think you have anything. You have to remember, I have the favor of God. Why do I have the favor of God? Because I'm the righteous. And God's surrounding me with favor. He just needs me to get up. Are you with me? I can't lay in the bed. God said, my favor is laying in the bed. If he's surrounding me with favor and I'm laying in the bed, my favor is laying in the bed. I got to get up. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I believe what the Bible says, now if I didn't know, I'd perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. But now that I've learned, I say, you know what? Praise God. I'm blessed. Why? Because God surrounds me with favor. That's why when people ask you how you're doing, I'm blessed. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. Well, man, it doesn't look like it. Just keep watching. Just keep watching. Don't you see this favor around me? I don't see a thing. You just keep watching. Because favor belongs to whom? The righteous. That's why you can see in verse 11, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy. Because you what? Defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Now all those things start to make sense. I expect it. I expect this to get in your spirit so that when you come to church, you create an atmosphere. Can you imagine if everybody that came to church here came with this mindset? What type of atmosphere would be in the house of God on a Thursday and a Sunday? That's why I say that when you come and there's not that energy to worship God, you've lost sight of your God. According to what he said. So either we're going to believe what he said or what you feel like. When I say you, I'm talking about me too. Are you with me? If the word of God is the truth and it's what we go by, then the word says we're blessed. I can't agree with my circumstance. I can't agree with what I feel like. I can't agree what it looks like. I have to say, no, the word of God says I'm blessed. Therefore, I'm surrounded by favor. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Anybody glad they came tonight? Blessings that belong to the righteous. Psalm 34. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out and the Lord what? Hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Who does he deliver out of trouble? Now the word cry here, and I want you to, oh Lord, please help me. That's not the type of cry I'm talking about. Or are you, that's not the cry I'm talking about. Because that cry has no faith in it. That cry has desperation in it. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, you read the word cry and you might say, well, I've been crying to the Lord. I've been crying. Oh, Lord, I'm crying. No, that's not what he's saying. If you know that the Lord is open to your ears, his ears are open to you crying out to him, then you know you have the petitions. If you know you have the petitions, you're not going to go in weeping. You're going to go in praising. Are you following me? Coming in faith. This cry is a cry of faith. Lord, I thank you that you said I am the righteous. These things are coming against me, but I praise your name because you said you will open to my troubles and that you deliver me out of them all. You got to change the way you look. It will. It adds some years to your life. Make you look better. Put Botox in trouble. Save you some money. Don't have to go get those Botox shots. Amen. You know, people all drawn, you know. But you're smiling. Notice, let's read this again. Now, it didn't cost you any money. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's the person who recognizes that they need God. That's our position. We were outside of God. We came to Christ. Because we had a contrite heart. Are you with me? The Lord, that's what the Bible says in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, blessed are the poor. It just doesn't add poor in spirit in one of the versions. But it means poor in spirit. It doesn't mean poor in finance. One who recognizes their bankruptcy outside of God. Comes to God. Says, God, I need you. God says, you got me through Christ. That person receives Christ. They become one with him. They take on the same righteousness as him. Now he says, as a result, my ears are open to the righteous. You have position with me. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So when affliction comes, says you're getting ready to get delivered. Don't spend time on the affliction. Spend time on expecting the deliverance. The righteous should not go to God about the affliction. The righteous should go to God thanking him for the deliverance. If the Bible's true. Is that right? Now, God never said we wouldn't be afflicted here in the earth realm. He never said challenges wouldn't come against us. He never said trials wouldn't come against us. He never said tests wouldn't come against us. He just said out of them all. That'll change your prayer life. You won't go asking for deliverance. You'll go thanking God for deliverance. There's no trial, test, temptation that's common to man that with it God has not what? Made a way of escape. We've had it backwards. We go talking to people about the affliction. We ought to talk to people about the deliverance. How you doing? Well, the enemy come against me. Well, praise God, God's about to deliver me from this thing. Amen. Now I'm in faith. Now I'm saying what God says. I am confessing the word, which means to say the same thing that God says. Amen. When you confess the word of God over your life, you are saying the same thing that God says. The word confess comes from a Greek word, homologia. It means the same, means same word, same thing, say the same thing. Hallelujah. Now, if I don't know what the word says, I'm going to perish because I lack knowledge. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does what? Delivers him out of them all. Praise God. Look at Psalm 37. Now, we're going to get to a point, but I just can't pass up Psalm 37 without reading. This is not in the lesson. I just like this portion, so I'm going to read it. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So what should I do, God? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you. We have too many promises to be walking around with our heads down. Amen. Talking about how sister so-and-so got the promotion and you should have got it. Saying, she doesn't love the Lord. Why did she get the promotion? Let me see what God says about that. Do not fret because of evildoers or sister so-and-so, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Then, see, when you do that, then you go gossip to the person around the corner. Let me share something with you. No, they're not sharing nothing. You gossiping. That's right. Amen. Come on now. You see, the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's great going one way, but when it comes back, it's cutting. Is that right? That's why the scripture said it's like a two-edged sword. It goes one way, then it comes, whoa, Lord. I think I told you this. When I first went to church, Dr. Price was preaching on the power of positive confession. Oh, that sounded good. I mean, that was a good message. I wanted to hear that. I wanted to get all of the things that he was saying. You know, you can have what you say. Everybody in the church was saying, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Then I went to a men's meeting and it said, you can't sleep with that woman if you're not married to us. Oh, no. I couldn't get out the room fast enough. Too late. Two-edged sword. What am I going to do now? Some of y'all in that position right now. You know, as long as I was saying the blessings of the Lord, it was hallelujah. You get over to the don't fornicate part. Ah. I didn't mean to say that. That's really not in my notes. I hadn't really thought about saying that. Let's get back. So I don't want to mess with you, but too late. You already heard it. Trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness, not on somebody else's, on the Lord's faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the what? The desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I have a little note in my Bible when I see things that minister to me, and I have, I want my it. Whatever your it is, whatever your desire is, that's an it. And the Bible says he shall bring it. To pass. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass if I delight in the Lord. He shall bring it to pass if I delight in the Lord. Promise from God. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. In other words, don't concern yourself about those people who are prospering outside of God. God says, you just delight yourself in me. Because the one that's going away from me, they're going to utterly be cast down, cut down, thrown away if they don't turn from their ways. Now, I just like to read that verse, those passages. That's some of my favorite passages. Thought I'd just let you in on that. That has nothing to do with the lesson. This has to do with the lesson. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, David speaking here, and now am old. Okay, David, big deal. What about that? Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. So we don't need to go around saying, Lord, why have you if I'm righteous? And I'm righteous because I've come to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If he's my Lord and Savior, I'm going to delight in him. I'm going to strive to what? Keep his commandments. I'm going to study the word. I'm going to, you know, spend time in prayer. That's delighting what? In the Lord. But my position of righteousness is fixed through him. He goes on. I have been young, I now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends. And his descendants are what?
Blessed.
steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly what? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Well, Pastor, that's what's the problem. I've fallen. Then as you are getting up, are you hearing what I'm saying? As you are getting up, say, Lord, I know that you got me in your hand. Yes, I've fallen. I've tripped. I've stumbled. I just threw myself down in some cases. But you're upholding me. You're upholding me. That's a promise from God. That's why David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefit. All that is in me. Look, everything is in me. Don't forget the benefits of God. Why do you think he had to say that? I wonder if he was cast down one of those days when he said that. And he had to remind himself of who God was in his life. But when he writes this psalm, he says, I've been old, I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous. Wait a minute, David. Weren't you the one who had the binoculars out on Bathsheba? And it's very possible, David, that that wasn't the first time you've seen Bathsheba. And you had to know her husband's schedule, because when he came home, you sent him out. Now, wait a minute, David. You're talking about the righteous? What's up with that? How can you figure you're righteous, David? David knew something. God said, David's a man after my own heart. In other words, David recognized who he was without God. Just because you recognize who you are without God doesn't mean that you might not sin in the flesh. Now, sinning in the flesh causes you problems, but it didn't change David's righteous position. Are you with me? Now, don't hear that I'm condoning sin in the flesh. I'm not. But I'm saying to those of you who may have fallen in the flesh and may have went away and feel like God doesn't love you, that's not what the Bible says. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know if you do. And you know if you're playing games. If you're playing games, these verses aren't for you. Don't try to claim these if you don't know Jesus as Lord. Because the righteous, we've already defined throughout our teaching that righteousness comes through Christ. Either you're going to get your own righteousness, which means you're perfect from the time that you were born to the time that you die. You merit and earn right standing. But since none of us are that way, the only way the Bible says that we can be that way is to come to Christ. So if I'm in Christ and I know that I'm in Christ, then God says, look, I'm for you, I'm not against you. Now, if I have blessings on the right side and you go to the left side, you chose not to walk in the blessing. But if you recognize that you're on the wrong side, just get up, come on back over. Are you following me? Though he fall, verse 24, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Why? He, obviously, God, is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Amen. And so you have to operate in faith. You have to claim the promises of God. You have to speak the word of God. You have to know what God says. Even though you might be going through things, you keep speaking what God says about your life. And that's the faith that takes. That's what Dr. Price was teaching on. Now, to walk in strong faith, you must understand your righteousness in Christ. Is that correct? You're not going to walk in strong faith if you don't understand your righteous position. No way. I have to know, why can I do this? What gives me the audacity to claim this? The Word of God does. Not what people say, not what a church says, not what a minister says, but what the Word of God says. If I came up here talking about the blessings of the righteous and the Bible didn't prove it, you could discard everything I had to say. Problem is, people have been listening and never studying for themselves. So whatever they hear, they took as truth without checking it out. No, you check it out for yourself. Don't just take it because I said it. Look at Psalm 37. You still there? Let's drop down to verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from who? He is their strength. When is he their strength? In the time of trouble. Salvation comes from who? Based upon the verse. What does the verse say? Salvation comes from the Lord, right? Now, he says he is their strength. Who? Strength. The righteous are the ones who are saved in time. Isn't that something that he didn't say? He is their strength in times of bliss. In times when everything is going all right. He didn't say that. He said he is their strength in time of trouble. Why? Because he knew that while we're in the earth realm, trouble would come our way. We have an adversary. There's a curse that's in the world. Is that correct? So God says, in the time of trouble, remember, I am your strength. When you're racking your brain and you can't figure out what to do, remember at that point, the Lord is my strength. Because the thoughts coming against your mind are trying to make you think that you can't make it. Pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. And after a while, people give up. Become susceptible to all kinds of things. What happened? They did not yield to their strength. They yielded to something else. Because you are going to yield when the trouble comes. Either to the trouble or to the strength. Are you following me? So who is my strength? The Lord is my strength. You can't meditate on the fact that the Lord is your strength and stay in a mode of feeling lost and without any hope. You're not going to be able to do it. Try it. Try it. Just try to meditate in whatever your situation is, because I know in a congregation this size, everybody has something going on. Everybody. 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 Is that right? Now, in the midst of that time, when you're dealing with whatever the trouble situation is, you start meditating on the fact that the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. Just keep saying that to yourself. The Lord is my strength. That's meditation. That's what meditation means in the Bible. You begin to keep saying what God said. It's to mutter to yourself, the Lord is my strength. 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 Those thoughts of the enemy can't get in. Now, he'll try you to see if you really believe what you're saying. It's just like a bully until you kick his behind. Amen. That's right. You know, like a bully. The devil's like a bully. He tries to bully you around. Now, if you never kicked any bullies behind, then you don't understand what I'm saying. But because there's bullies all the time, you know, in the natural. And they just bully you and bully you and bully you until you deck them one time. That's it. It's over then. They won't mess with you. Can anybody say amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? So until you deal with the devil, based upon your strength in the Lord, he's going to keep on bullying you. Now, just because you win today, in the scenario falls short because Satan is like, okay, you got me today. I'm back tomorrow. And when he comes back tomorrow, you got bam again. You know, that's it. Hit it with the word again. He's crazy enough to come and get this right again. I'm here to give it to him. Are you following what I'm saying? So the scripture says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them. And what? Deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? Trust in him. That's a blessing of the righteous. Glory to God. Let's look at another passage. Psalm 55. Is anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Psalm 55. Look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And the word move is shaken. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, this idea of sustain means to maintain, to nourish, to provide, to bear up, to hold up, to supply the means necessary for living. Hallelujah. That's your heritage. That's your heritage. As the right, talking about the righteous. Now, we've already talked about how the God of the Bible looked at mankind without Christ. Is that correct? Then we moved on to say, well, God's love was what demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. Then we said mankind's acceptance of Christ gives him what? Righteousness. Now we're looking at the blessings, what? Of the righteous. Hallelujah. God is what? Showing us some things, and we have to claim them by faith. We have to grab hold to what the Word of God says. Cast your burden on the Lord. Not cast your ease on the Lord. Cast your burden, that which weighs you down, on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved or to be shaken. Well, I've been a Christian for a long time, but that doesn't mean you've been walking in faith a long time. Amen. Amen. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a what? A rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And many people have been Christians for a long time, but they haven't walked in faith believing that God's going to do what he said. So they carried their burden, or they thought that God was going to doing this to them or doing that to them. And God's not going to be able to confirm error. If I'm not walking in faith, he can't confirm his word, because he would be confirming what? Error. So when I do my part, God does his part. Has anybody up to this point, you may have been a Christian for a period of time and you knew some of these verses, but you never really acted in them in faith. And then once you understood that faith was a component, you started acting on it. Did the word come to pass in your life? Which means the word was always there for us. All it needed was for us to act on it. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Ooh, glory to God. You ready to shout a little bit? Yes. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. See, you'd have to understand the nature of a palm tree. See, it's very hard sometimes for people to understand some of the things used in the Bible because they don't know how a palm tree flourishes or how the cedar of Lebanon is a strong piece of wood. You know, you have cedar closets. That's not by accident. God didn't put cedar in there just by accident. He knew what kind of wood cedar was. You got a cedar closet, you spent some money. Cedar. What's a cedar, Pastor? You understand? Some people don't even know that there's such things as what cedar closets. They don't even know why they have cedar closets. Now, God uses all of these terms, and when we go back, God says, that's who you are. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. All right, seasoned saints. Notice, he goes on. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Oh. I got a little footnote in my Bible that says, they shall be full of oil. And green, you know, and the oil was very important in that time because it was used for a variety of things and it was, you know, it was costly. So you shall be full of oil. The power of God, the anointing of God, the blessing of God, and the provisions of God. Hallelujah. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. For what purpose? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is what? No unrighteousness in him. Same thing David said. He says, I've been young, now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous what? Forsaken. I'm expecting you seasoned saints to be flourishing. Amen. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. That's why the Bible says your latter years shall be better than your what? Former years. Claim that promise. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. You know? Use your 401k for something good. Now you got time. Glory to God. So y'all know if y'all come talk to me, I'm going to take y'all to Psalm 92. But Pastor, you just don't know. I say, I know what Psalm 92 says. All right. Praise the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Time to refire. Turn to your neighbor and say, time to refire. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10. Glory to God. Verse 3, Proverbs 10. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Verse 3, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish or to be without. But he cast away the desire of the wicked. So which one of these are you? Based upon what we've taught. You're the righteous. It's okay to say that. Say that. I'm the righteous. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desires of the wicked. In there, that's not... Are you the wicked?
No.
You're the righteous. So the Lord says, I will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Obviously, the part has to do, if the righteous believes in me and trusts in me. Is that correct? Look at verse 27. You're right there in Proverbs 10. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Amen. Want to learn how to live long? Reverence the Lord. But the years of the wicked will be what? Short. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, another word for the righteous, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be moved, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous knows what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Glory to God. Blessings of the righteous. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. You take these passages and you allow God to minister to your heart about where you are in each one of these cases. Get your concordance, run through the scripture looking at the righteous. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. One translation says the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous has mighty force in the earth. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So a person has a choice. They can walk as an evil one outside of God, or they can come to know the Lord and have the Lord be open to their prayers, have their house stand, flourish like a palm tree, flourish in old age, and have God says, as David said, I've been old, I've been young, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Praise the Lord. We're out of time. Salvation basics. That's it. Glory to God.